Hello and welcome back to the One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Doing okay, yeah. It's a kind of a chill Sunday. We haven't recorded in a while, to be honest.
Well, we recorded so many.
Yeah, we kind of banked them.
Yeah, which the listeners, I'm sure, know when they're hearing about us, like, just got vaccinated.
Yeah, like, bar for the first time.
Woo! Yeah.
This is not going to age well.
It's eventually we'll catch up, but yeah. we wanted to record a bunch of them, like, so we knew what we were doing.
Yeah. We had some plans today, and they fell through, and sometimes it's kind of nice.
Nice when plans fall through.
Yeah, it's what the kids call JOMO.
Joy of missing out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the kids call it that?
I feel like so. I think like
if we're calling it that, the kids don't call it that.
Yeah. JOMO, which that's me. Basically. I mean, yeah. You're a middle-aged aunt.
Are you middle-aged?
Yes. 40 is middle age when you look at the life expectancy.
But it's not what people, when people say middle age, I feel like they're talking about like,
which I feel like is so false because no one lives to 100.
Yeah. Because yeah, when people are like,
I'm over the hill, like this is the hill for me.
You're on the downward slope.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun part.
It's all downhill from here.
But that's the fun part. Like downhill is the fun part.
That's true. Like right? On a ride. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Sledding. Yeah.
Yeah. Rock climbing.
Yeah, but I guess you always hear like a dude buys a sports car in his 50s and he's like, oh, he's having a midlife crisis. And it's like,
wishful thinking.
Yeah, I should have had my midlife crisis 3 years ago when I turned 35.
Yeah. Have you done anything that's like midlife crisis?
I don't think so. I've talked about
getting
tattoos because yeah. I'm 38 and I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
And everyone I know had, like, it's to the point where it's like, I'm the weird one for not having tattoos. Like, yeah. Everyone I know has tattoos.
Yeah.
Even your mom has a tattoo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I might get a tattoo.
My dad doesn't, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. But he wants one.
So what should I get as a tattoo? Something Friends or How I Met Your Mother related?
Oh my gosh, please no. Please no.
I'll get the pineapple. Okay. From the pineapple incident.
Okay.
I'll get that tattoo. And then what would my friend's tattoo be? From the first half, because we're halfway through the first season of Friends.
Yeah.
And more than halfway through the first season of How I Met Your Mother.
I think you'd get like a little mug, like a cute little mug.
Okay. Okay.
Or a monkey. You hate monkeys.
I hate monkeys.
Yeah.
I really do.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had some delicious chili for lunch.
Oh yeah. I made some chili for my parents and for David. I didn't eat it because I'm vegetarian.
Yeah, but you made it.
Everyone enjoyed it. I couldn't taste it. Normally that's part of cooking is like I chomp it while I'm making it, but I couldn't even.
I tasted it for you.
Sample it.
Right?
I'm glad it worked out.
It was good. Yeah. So I'm in a great mood today.
Good.
JOMO, belly full of chili. Couldn't. Got some firm tattoo plans. It couldn't be going better.
Oh, God.
So let's jump right in and talk about season one, episode 12 of both Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We'll start with Friends, season one, episode 12, the one with the dozen lasagnas. So this had a fun cold open where the gang is at Central Perk and they're all just reading different things. Like they're just sitting together, but just reading.
Yeah.
But then one of them like starts humming the Odd Couple theme song. And then they all kind of,
I didn't know what that was.
But
and
did
I
you
knew,
recognize it?
I knew that I should have known what it was. Yeah. Like I know that it was very familiar.
I love our podcast's theme song, but it should just be us humming the, humming the Friends.
Yeah.
I guess the How I Met Your Mother theme song is more hummable because it's literally just.
Yeah.
It's
with
already
Friends,
just.
We'd have to add some claps. We'd have to.
Yeah, which we have in our wonderful theme music.
Yeah.
Has some hand claps in it. But yeah, the Friends, or the How I Met Your Mother theme song is already the Friends version of the Odd Couple version of its own theme song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's already just people going, pa, pa, pa. So they do the Odd Couple theme song. I really liked it. And then Ross starts, and this one I had to look up because I didn't recognize it.
Oh,
Ross
it
starts
was
doing
Pink Panther.
No, he starts doing I Dream of Jeannie, apparently.
Oh, da, da.
See, that one you know. This is our different, like.
Yeah.
like how we were raised. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of I Dream of Jeannie.
Really?
Yeah. But so wait, okay, hold on. Our next podcast is The Odd Couple in I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes, no. if we can make it through this unscathed, we're done.
Unscathed, still married.
Yeah.
Okay, so I liked that cold open a lot. Even though it was, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say, like, it just occurred to me now, everyone on, like, reading their own things, it's like modern times of everyone on their phones. That's like the equivalent.
Yeah, so when old fogies are like, oh, these days everyone's just got their nose buried in their phones, it's like
they're sitting around reading the magazines reading or anyway. The papers. Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine.
It's nothing new. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun. So yeah, I like the cold open, even though I know I feel like a hypocrite because I've complained about the idea of the friends' ironic appreciation of like
of
old
another
TV
entity, yes,
because that feels very dated.
Yeah.
But just something about the execution of just them. There was no...
They're all on board.
Yeah, there was no, like, irony or, like, oh, we're cooler than this thing.
Right.
It was just, like, a fun little performance.
And they're all dorks, and everyone else in the cafe were, like, side-eyeing them. Like,
yeah, especially, like, and they all joined in.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the cold open. Then we get to the main episode, and Ross has a bunch of baby books, because...
Carol?
Carol is his wife?
Yeah.
And Susan is Jessica Hecht?
Yes.
Okay, I always get them mixed up. So Carol's going in for like an ultrasound. He's super excited. He's going through the baby books. They're talking about babies. Joey loves babies, which I love that about Joey.
Yeah.
That he loves babies, even though Chandler's creeped out by his little baby voice.
Yeah.
Paolo shows up again.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I did not expect in The One with the Blackout when Paolo first showed up that he would still be around,
yeah.
What, 5 episodes later?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But Paolo's coming because they're going to Rachel's sister's
Poconos.
House in the Poconos.
Yeah.
Which I don't know where the Poconos are.
I don't either, but I know okay. It's like... where rich people go on vacation.
Okay.
I feel like there's like boats.
Is it like, okay.
It's like a boat town. Like, I want to say we get into conversations about, like upstate New York
yeah.
a lot for some reason.
I'm sure that, yeah, it's probably like.
Like the Finger Lakes.
Finger Lakes. So not the Catskills.
No, the Catskills is like wilderness mountains.
This is. Like New England.
This is
like. I could just look this up. Do you want me to?
Yeah. See if it's near the Finger. It's like a thing that I'll never visit, but I always hear people talk about.
Oh, Poconos are mountains.
Oh.
In northeastern Pennsylvania, part of the Allegheny Plateau. So, I guess it is kind of like a Catskills, except south of New York.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All the East Coasters are like,
glad we cleared that up. Yeah.
Ross, there are multiple
storylines,
but there's multiple examples of why Ross is just an asshole.
Terrible.
He just sucks.
Yes. Yes.
He seems to very heavily consider calling immigration.
Yeah.
Calling INS, I guess, is what it would
and
have been at the time
like a joke,
on
like,
Paolo. It was, yeah. came as a joke, but then it seemed like he was like, oh, I could call immigration.
Yeah.
So what an asshole.
Yeah.
And then, so we find out, so fucking Friends always does this to me with the episode titles.
Mm-hmm.
That this episode has nothing to do with the Dozen Lasagnas. It's
no.
just a runner.
Yeah.
That Monica, I want to say Courtney. Like she's my friend.
Yeah. Court.
Monica.
Hey, Court.
Made for her Aunt Syl, Aunt Sylv, actually, she
yeah.
says, made a dozen lasagnas only to then find out they were supposed to be vegetarian,
yeah.
and they're not. So she's got a dozen lasagnas.
So she's trying to give them away.
She's trying to get rid of it throughout the course of the episode. It also led to, this isn't my funniest moment, but maybe my funniest Monica moment when she's... on the phone with Aunt Sylv, she's like, so what am I supposed to do with these? And then there's a pause and she says, nice talk, Aunt Sylv. You kiss Uncle Freddy with that mouth?
Yeah.
Thought that was cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
And I like the specificity of Aunt Sylv. It's such like a weird name, but I guess if you had an Aunt Sylvia, maybe people would call her Sylv.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever known a Sylvia.
Yes, my coworker, you've met her a few times. I've known a few Sylvias.
All right. Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah.
You have a coworker named Sylvia. I'm sure that we got along famously.
You did.
I can't remember. I've met so many of your coworkers.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
She'll be upset that you didn't remember her.
When she listens to this?
Yeah. Shout out to Sylvia. Hey, girl.
I had a great time hanging out with you, Sylvia. So then Ross brings the lasagna over to Carol, because he's going over there to find out how the ultrasound went. Again, he's an asshole because Carol's like, Susan's vegetarian, is there meat in that? And he's like, I'm pretty sure there's not. He knows for a fact there's meat in it. That's the whole reason he has a lasagna.
He's so slimy.
He sucks.
He's always like,
he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And then, so the sort of the upshot of that scene is that he doesn't want to know the baby's sex.
Yes. So they know the sex. Everyone knows the sex later in the episode. But yeah, he doesn't want to know.
Yeah, there's a there's a joke in there I didn't like about that. It felt like a lesbian joke that they're like, they have a, he sees a picture of them with who he thinks is Huey Lewis, and it turns out to be
their friend Tanya,
and it just seems like, oh, that woman looks like a man. It feels like it's a coded lesbian joke, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So again, just Ross sucks. He just sucks so hard.
Yep.
Although I did laugh when he like, when he went to say goodbye, he like gave Carol a kiss on the cheek, then kissed her belly, and then gave Susan like a punch on the arm.
Like, hey, fella.
Yeah. I liked that. There's a very minor other storyline in this episode that I liked about where, Chandler and Joey are buying a new table together.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, okay, this is getting into, like, I've talked about, like, the whole premise of the show is that I relate more to How I Met Your Mother than Friends, but being a younger person, having roommates and living in the city, like, this is an actual, like, it's like the apartment needs a new thing.
Right.
Do you go buy it
together?
Like, you've had roommates. Have you had this type of situation?
Well, my roommate situation, a lot of it was in San Francisco, and we would just pick up shit that we saw on the side of the road. Someone would see something and then we would bring it home. Or we would go to like a thrift store, or it was usually like a collaborative effort.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe not all the roommates. Like, for example, like maybe two or three of us would be out shopping because we're also really good friends.
Yeah.
And then we would like tell Sean we have something new. Shout out to Sean if you're listening.
I am realizing I had, the guy I co-host my other podcast with, Tyler, he and I lived together in two different apartments. In the second apartment, we had a third roommate named Cole. And I'm realizing that, like, other than their bedroom, because they shared a bedroom and I had my own bedroom, other than, like, their bedroom and, like, our little computer desk, which I think was Cole's, all of the furniture in our apartment was stuff that I brought, and it was all stuff that either my parents or my aunts and uncles were getting rid of.
Mm.
So I had like
secondhand.
Yeah, I had like a
family
fold out like love seat that came from my aunt. I had the dining room table that I grew up like eating breakfast at was at that apartment.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
I got another couch from my friend Julie when she was moving out. It seems I was the one in charge of, or it just fell to me to be the one to like gather furniture from places.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah, I feel like now we're much more particular about the furniture we bring in.
Yeah,
I wouldn't buy anything without, you know, we would do it together. Obviously, we're.
Yeah, I mean the this isn't me being like. Matter from Mars, woman from Venus, but like most of our decor comes from you, but I like it and I signed off on all of it.
Right.
With the one exception being that you, if it were up to you, there would be no Blu-ray or DVD shelves here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't
or
like
CDs.
The CDs are so tucked away in the office. They're fine.
It's an eyesore. And then that one time you bought a giant TV and I cried because it didn't fit.
But then we just got a new TV stand and it looks fucking great.
Right.
Yeah.
But I cried about
it. You did get a little emotional about how the new TV didn't fit onto the wall.
Not my best day.
But I remember that apartment that I mentioned I lived in with Tyler and Cole. I don't know if you have this because you've always had good taste, I think.
Mm.
Okay, maybe not. But when I think back to that apartment I lived in Chicago in my 20s, and I realized, like, oh, wow, that was a very cool apartment. We did not, like, honor it. Mm-hmm. Like, we were not using the rooms properly, yeah, or the space properly at all.
That's
like,
so frustrating.
Like, knowing what I know now about home decor, like, yeah, I could have made that place look so great.
Yeah.
It was such a cool apartment. And I fucked it up.
Yeah.
All right. So I liked the idea that Chandler and Joey had to buy furniture together. So like I said, Ross doesn't want to know. Oh yeah. So we cut to Phoebe, who's working as a masseuse. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. She's a massage therapist.
And Paolo comes in, and we don't see it happen at first. We see him, like, get naked, and then later we find out
groped
her and yeah, then exposed himself to her. Is that the implication?
Yep.
And so during the scene where Phoebe is telling them all that, mm-hmm, there's another... I should have put this in the running jokes and motifs, but Rachel, again, being bad at her job, because everyone's sitting around, and she's like, what are you guys talking about? And another table is like, can we get some cappuccino? Yeah. And Rachel just looks, she's like, oh, that's me.
That's right.
So finally, so Phoebe tells the other friends or whatever, they tell her
you have to tell Rachel.
Which I think they're right. I hate that it's like Ross maneuvering. Like, yes, ooh, you have to tell, like,
it's not him being a good friend.
Yeah.
It's him, like, how will this benefit me? Because I want Rachel and I'm a predator.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. but his motivation is in the right place, but he's right, right? Like, Phoebe has to say something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And what I loved, we talk so much about this show being regressive or whatever, but I loved to the point that, like,
made you cry.
Almost made me cry.
Is it,
like,
the scene that Phoebe comes to Rachel?
And Rachel immediately believes her. There's absolutely no doubt. There's no resistance.
Well,
and then they have this, like, dueling, like, I'm sorry's to one another.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry that I had to tell you this. I'm sorry that I brought Paula into this. Like, it was such a sweet, like, female friendship scene.
Absolutely. I'm getting teary just thinking about it. But the way that Phoebe presented it to Rachel, knowing that this is going to be very, very painful. So she says, like, I need you to know three things about me. One is that my friends mean everything to me. Two is that I never lie. And three is that I make the best oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah.
So already, like, this is, okay, you're making a very strong case. Like,
yeah.
And Rachel, to her credit, like, takes it in and believes her. So when...
Especially since she eats oatmeal cookies and they're amazing.
Yeah, she starts with the cookies. And then Phoebe even, like, has... She's thought of everything, because she even has, like, a canister of milk, too. Like, she's thought it out. She baked cookies. Like, she didn't need to do that. She's victimized by this monster, you know? Like, she's not obligated to do all this, and that's just what a gem Phoebe is.
Yeah.
And, yes, to Rachel's credit, she believes her immediately.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Phoebe makes such a good case. Like, there's no reason why we wouldn't believe Phoebe. She's been... a great friend, great human being through and through.
And I like the acknowledgement that she and Rachel haven't known each other that long. Because we have to remember, like, Rachel knows Monica and Ross from childhood, but the other friends are, like, she's still, like, the new one of the group.
Right, right. But, yeah, it was very sweet. It was my favorite scene of the episode.
Yeah, I would agree. And then I love that it cuts to it goes, like, essentially to commercial. I mean, we're watching it on HBO Max. This is not an ad for HBO Max. It's just how we're watching it.
Yeah.
Which we got, we should address, because we got a comment or an email or a tweet, which, by the way, please give us feedback, and we'll tell you how at the end of the episode, about the versions that we're watching.
Right.
Because I guess there are three versions of a lot of Friends episodes. There's the broadcast version that initially aired when the show initially aired.
Right.
There's the syndication version, which is a little shorter, because in syndication they're like,
they have to cut
more room for commercials, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the DVDs had, I guess, especially as the series goes on, had like the producer's cuts that tend to be like longer than the initial. So the ones on HBO Max are the broadcast version. They're the ones that actually aired.
Okay.
And so I guess my understanding from what I've gathered researching about this is there's two sort of camps among Friends fans as to which ones are the real versions. The real one the one that aired,
the broadcast,
which is what I tend to think
yeah
of.
It's a TV show after all, like yeah.
it's not a series
in the way that, you know, this is a sitcom, you know. Yeah. I feel like we're watching it in its truest form.
Yeah but there are some people who feel like the producer's cuts are like
people are watching along, first, thank you. And like, if you're watching on DVD, you know, that's fine too if you don't have HBO Max.
Yeah, but you might be getting an extra scene or two.
There might be something that we're missing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway, I didn't realize that, so thank you to the listener who pointed that out. So anyway, we come back from a commercial break, essentially, an act break. Yeah. We'll talk like we know about TV.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We come back from an act break.
Yeah.
And we get... I love this because I tend to feel like when watching TV shows, especially like sitcoms, they shoot the establishing shot of whatever the outside of the building is supposed to be like once, and they use it for the entire series.
Yes.
But here we had like the establishing shot, but then we see Paolo's clothes coming out of the they shot a new establishing shot for this act, which I really liked.
Yeah. Rachel and Paolo are on the balcony, fighting, and they're just watching it from inside. We don't know what they're saying necessarily.
Yeah, but they're gesticulating wildly.
Yes. And I thought it was funny when Paolo, says bye to everyone in the apartment, and Monica gives him a lasagna because she's trying to get rid of all these lasagnas.
Yeah, you had like three goodbyes because he's like, I must say goodbye. And Phoebe's like, bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
and then Monica gives him lasagna, which she's also giving away her like pans.
And she could freeze them, you know, like she can give a few to Joey and Chandler. She can give one to Ross. Like, I don't know why they're giving them to people they don't like.
Yeah, that's a good point. But then Ross gets the big moment of like slamming the door in his face, which I feel like would be a bigger moment if it had come from Phoebe. But with Ross, we know that this isn't about him like standing up for his friend.
Right.
It's about this, like you said, this creepy, like predatory, like she's mine type of bullshit.
Yeah.
I had more to say about that. Also, I don't like, we talked about earlier the friends giving Phoebe good advice, whether it came from the right place or not. I feel like the advice that Joey and Chandler, why can I never get their names right? Like the advice that Joey and Chandler give Ross, which is like, you have to swoop in, you have to be there. Like,
be the first man that she sees.
I feel like not only is it creepy, that's also just like bad. I feel like it's just bad advice. Like, isn't that,
that's the last thing you want to see.
That's the last thing she wants.
And even Rachel said, like, I'm over dudes right now. Like, when you break up with, well, I mean, some people, you know, like rebound, you know, person right away. But I think for the most part, it's like, it's not going to be the kind of relationship that Ross wants right now with Rachel. Like, he's going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Careful.
Oh, is that okay?
So
on.
Peek behind the scenes here, behind the curtain. Natalie just moved the soundboard, and the plug in the back of that is a little loose, and I'm pretty sure we never talked about, we recorded an episode that was supposed to be like previous to episode one. We recorded an episode that was like about the Friends reunion, which I didn't watch and you did.
Yeah.
And we weren't able to use it because the sound wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's what happened, is we did a sound test and everything sounded okay.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you knocked it, but or the cat or the dog or something, because that stupid plug is so fickle. I'm pretty sure that thing came
unplugged.
That
was a good episode too. That's a,
but the audio is,
yeah, it's too bad.
It's terrible. All right.
So yeah, are we on to funniest
moments? And I'll go first. You go first. When we do How I Met Your Mother, I'll go first here. And I have two, and I don't know how to pick between them. I'm going to do one, and my other one isn't yours.
I have a few.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go back and forth.
Okay
then, I love when they're table shopping, yeah, and Joey points at, how about that one?
Yeah.
And Chandler's like, we can't have that. That's patio furniture. And Joey says, like, people are going to come inside and think, uh-oh, I'm outside again.
Yeah.
That was a funny
That joke. Was one of mine.
Okay. What's another one?
Also, along with the table storyline, I liked the, like, visual gag of them before they had the table. They were knee-to-knee, like, sitting in chairs, like, eating.
The lasagna, like.
Between their knees. Yeah, eating. So they made, like, their own little makeshift table with their legs, sharing lasagna. I thought it was really like kind of cute and intimate.
Yeah.
Another from the shopping for the table scene. They were discussing like Chandler's ex roommate named Kip, which I think is a funny name in and of itself. Chandler recommended like a weird chair that was or a table that had like upholster, like birds upholstered on it.
Yeah.
And he said Kip would have liked the birds.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I like that
all our favorites are about the table.
Well, no.
Because, can I say one of my other ones?
Yeah.
Which is the actual visual gag of the table breaking is hilarious. Because it's just a dining room table, like a little like four-person like mini dining room table. They come home and one of them just tosses their keys on the table and the leg breaks and the entire thing falls over. That was a good gag.
My other honorable mention funniest moment was also my favorite moment about the oatmeal cookies and Phoebe's explanation. So she was talking about her oatmeal cookies being the best, and she said Rachel's like, these really are great cookies. Like, how have I never had them before? And Phoebe said, I don't make them a lot because I don't think it's fair for the other cookies, which is cute.
And very Phoebe. I like when the show doesn't just have funny jokes. It like gives the funny jokes to the right character in the character's voice. That's a very Phoebe joke. I love that. All right. This was not a great fashion episode. I didn't feel like I didn't have a lot of contenders personally. But then Chandler swoops in at the end wearing a ridiculous shirt. Hmm. It's a blue plaid shirt, except for the placket, like the middle section where the buttons are, is like brown. It's a button-up blue plaid shirt there's a brown stripe on either side of, like, that's right down the middle where the buttons are. I kind of hated it, but it was very memorable. And it was tucked into a light blue jean pant with a braided belt, so very 90s.
He was giving me like swingers vibes in the first few scenes.
Okay.
He kind of like a bowling shirt, I don't know what it's called, but like a different color of the buttons, and then the side panels are a different, it's very like swingers, and then it was like belted in a way that was
I guess on swingers it's, they tend to do a non-tuck type of thing in that movie. But here...
They were tucked. Yeah, he was tucked.
But yeah, that braided belt, I definitely, at this... this time of my life, the time that this episode would have been airing, when I was like in middle school, definitely I was a braided belt guy.
Huh. Definitely. Did you ever do the shoelace belt? I did a shoelace belt.
No, I did... in high school when I... was like punk, my friend Armin made for me for like a birthday present a belt essentially out of just a link of chain, and then like he had like soldered, or like I don't know how you do like cut a link, so it had a clasp so I could like clasp it was a birthday present, so I would wear a length of chain as a belt a lot in my junior year of high school.
I never had the seat belt
okay,
but it was that was like very hot topic, you know. I wrote down monochromatic Monica because Monica was rocking the monochrome. Like she had, when she was cooking the lasagnas, it was like all brown, everything, like a vest, a jacket and pants. They were the same brown. And then Carol was in full crushed velvet, which I really liked. Purple velvet pants and a purple velvet shirt, different colors. So I really like that look.
And it seems like a believable maternity wear, right?
Yeah.
Very comfy.
There was a lot more pops of crushed velvet in other outfits, which I liked.
Running jokes and motifs, I'll ask you, because I feel like that foosball table is going to be a mainstay.
That'll be around, yeah.
The foosball table is going to be. So this is the introduction to the foosball table. I never resolved the table storyline, which is that they buy a foosball table instead of a dining room table. And then Joey's like, well, we'll eat at the sink.
Yeah.
And then
there'll be a lot more interesting furniture choices.
Okay.
For Joey and Chandler.
Okay, so this is really the beginning of a trend.
This is the beginning of a trend. Okay. Yeah.
I also liked, again, this feels like a recurring thing for this character, but I love that Monica's great at foosball, and not just great, but very competitive about it.
Very competitive. Yes, yeah. I wrote that down as, you know, kind of a motif for like a running theme, but yeah, Monica's very type A, and it would make sense that she's like up until 2:30 in the morning kicking everyone's ass at foosball.
Yeah.
For I guess running jokes. Well, I guess this is not a joke, but Russ being an asshole, we already discussed.
Yeah, it's running jokes / motifs.
Motifs, yeah. He's never been more of an asshole. Phoebe is a gem of a friend and an angel sent from heaven.
Yeah.
And, I did want to say props to the prop department. That lasagna looked so good.
Did it?
Did it not?
Okay.
When they were eating, I'm like, someone made those. I guess it could be frozen, but
I'm surprised that I just questioned that, because I actually had a note here that I didn't talk about, which is this episode made me hungry for lasagna and cookies.
What are you, Garfield?
But no, and like I wanted their particular meal.
Yeah.
And I also like, do you think when Rachel comes back in from the balcony and the first thing she wants is another oatmeal cookie, do you think Monica's like, oh, what, I guess
what about
my lasagna's, what yeah. if my, is chopped liver?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I bet Monica makes good chopped liver too.
Probably, yes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Should we move on?
We should, yes.
To season 1, episode 12 of How I Met Your Mother, The Wedding.
Yes. Yes, we should. So in this episode, we start out with Ted kind of ruminating about a wedding invitation and kind of like the dilemma of a plus one or not plus one. Like, if you're single, how do you anticipate yourself in 3 months from now? Or, you know, are you going to have a date? Do you scramble to find a date? Are you just going to concede and be single? So he makes the decision at the time to ask Robin. And he decides that he has feelings for her. They're resurfacing feelings for Robin. Sends in the wedding invitation back. The friends are very...
Wait, I want to ask, have you ever marked that you were bringing a plus one when you didn't have a date to a wedding?
Yes. And it was always like, well, I'll bring my friend Lauren, or like, it was never, it didn't have to be a date.
Yeah.
I've often brought friends as my date.
Okay. Can a guy do that? Could a guy bring another guy? I guess you can bring a girl as a friend.
Why could you not? Like, why do you, I mean, why?
Would it be weird? I guess from, I'm trying to remember, Claudia, was she the bride?
Yeah, Claudia and Stuart.
Yeah, if Ted showed up, like, marked plus one and then showed up with, like, Carl the bartender, would she be like, why am I buying Carl the bartender dinner?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think you like, you have enough respect for your wedding guest to bring someone or not.
Right.
This is like a fancy black tie wedding. And I guess everyone's going as well. He asked Robin, who just broke up with Darren, the rich guy. Is that his name?
Derek.
So Derek just broke up with her. So she's really excited. She's like, ooh, black tie. I need a dress. So she's really excited to go and get a dress in a few days. She's flattered that he wants to bring her. Let's see what else happens. Lily and Marshall are kind of thinking about their own wedding, and they have a lot of disagreements about the type of wedding they want. So Lily wants like a wedding in nature, in the woods.
Sounds like a nightmare.
And Marshall wants a more traditional, like a banquet style wedding.
Yeah. I would definitely rather go to Marshall's wedding.
We've been to fun, like forest weddings.
I mean, we've been to outdoor weddings, but that's not the same as like in the woods. Maybe I'm just picturing something different than...
Yeah, because F&B's wedding was in the woods.
But it was at a venue that was in the woods.
Yeah. I think they just want a different style.
Okay. So I'm not being fair to Lily by picturing she literally wants to get married like
in an open
in the woods.
Yeah.
Like on that episode of Portlandia.
Yeah. Yeah. And this brought back a lot of like our wedding planning memories and thinking about, I mean, we didn't have like assigned seating or a super, super strict guest list. It was pared down, but the fact that we had some friends who like RSVP'd and didn't show up, or RSVP'd for a plus one and they didn't show up, it was kind of like, damn, like I could have had someone else that could have been there, that would have really liked to be there.
We also had, without naming names, someone who RSVP'd for one and decided to like
bring two,
take turns.
Yeah.
Like, but to this person's credit, they didn't try to get two meals.
Right.
It was just like post meal at the reception. They like took turns being at the wedding, which was like fine. Like it was fine. But like we were told by the venue, like
you can't have any more than this.
Not only the number, but like we were told there was supposed to be someone at the elevator, cause we got married on a rooftop, and we were told there was supposed to be someone at the elevator, like,
monitor,
checking names.
Yeah.
So like we told our friends, like,
we need everyone's
very
name.
Strict. We need everyone's name. And apparently that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't care. It was a super fun wedding, but it was just, weird to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lied to.
With this wedding, you know that there are like seat arrangements and, you know, name cards, everything. It was very formal. It ended up costing $400,000, which is, I mean, it sounds insane, but people do spend that much on weddings, even though the scenes at the wedding, they looked like so like
there's a VFW
tacky.
Hall or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was real bad.
Yeah, but I guess that's the limitations of the soundstage or whatever.
Yeah.
Like someone pointed out to me on like on The Crown, which is like The Crown is one of the most expensive TV shows ever made, but they still don't show royal weddings. They show like the rehearsal or whatever. Like we've never actually seen a wedding on The Crown because even at like $2 million an episode, they couldn't recreate an actual royal wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in this episode, let's see. So it turns out that, Ted runs into Claudia, the bride, just on the street. And he was saying like, oh yeah, like me and, my date, we're really excited. And she's like, you don't have a date. You didn't check plus one. You don't have a date. And he's like, oh, but I already invited Robin. And she's like, sorry, you can't do it. And then he's upset. Robin's super excited. He doesn't want to break it to her. Robin found a dress, which we'll talk about that later. Robin found a dress. She found some shoes. She's super excited. So he doesn't want to tell her. So he goes around her and talks to Stuart, the groom, and Stuart's like, sure, yeah, no problem. So this leads to like a huge fight between Claudia and Stuart, who end up like breaking up because of this plus one debacle.
An amazing scene too. We see the entire fight, but with fast forward.
Yeah, that was a fun.
Like fast forward to you never taking me. Don't get me started on your mother.
Yeah.
And I love, did you notice the entire time there is fast forward to the fight, Stuart is holding a remote control.
Oh, that's very funny.
Almost like he's the one fast forwarding.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. That's very funny. But yeah, so then the gang kind of like conspires to get them back together.
Yeah, except Marshall ends up trying to talk Stuart out of it.
Yeah, his argument,
that's what ends up working.
Yeah, his argument is like, don't marry her. If she was the right one, it's easy and you would know.
Yeah, which I don't think is I don't buy into the idea of like that there's the one. Like, I think that's kind of like weird, like storybook thinking.
Yeah.
But the fact that Marshall
Wait,
does
what?
The fact that Marshall does think that way, I think shines some more light on he and Ted's friendship, because we think of Ted as being like the hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
Marshall's just as much of a hopeless romantic. He just happens to have found someone very early, and that probably is more of a weight on Ted than we've realized.
Well,
Marshall's just like me, and he found his other half or whatever.
Right. And you see, there's more than, like, there's been scenes before where Ted is like looking at Marshall and Lily's relationship and like a, in the, he's like idolizing this, like, this is what he wants. So he's even at the wedding, he's like watching them dance. He's like, it's so easy for them. Like, that's what I want. This is the kind of relationship that I want.
And so far the show has mostly supported that, that the idea that they're like this, this little disagreement about wedding stuff was not a big deal. Like, from the show's point of view at this point, Ted is right to idealize Marshall, make the perfect relationship.
Right.
I don't want to get any spoilers, but that, you know,
sure,
complications will happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's a
good,
smart show.
Good. So yeah, during this argument, Claudia wants to like get wasted at McLaren's, and in swoops sexual predator Barney. He's basically a date rapist.
Trying to like ply her with two drinks at a time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cranberry vodkas.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like getting her wasted. He thinks she's a 10. You know, he's again objectifying women, rating them. It made me like very uncomfortable watching him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, except that you know it's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but like, this is played for laughs, and it just makes me uncomfortable because it happens and it's gross.
My question about here, this is like, why does it take Lily so long to get to McLaren's? Aren't we to believe that McLaren's is
like right downstairs,
essentially, if not the first floor of their building on their block?
Right.
How is she able to go through six vodka cranberries before?
Right.
Which also, that joke about like, oh, you remember what I drink? And he's like, they all drink vodka cranberries, is kind of a ripoff of a joke from The Last Days of Disco, where a character gets Chloe Savini's drink right, and then she realizes, oh, it's just because all women my age drink not vodka cranberry, but actually your drink, vodka tonic. Vodka soda, yeah.
Vodka soda. Tonic.
Vodka, I get them mixed up. But yeah, vodka soda is the drink that Chloe Savini drinks in The Last Days of Disco that the guy accurately predicts. And the only reason I remember it is because you drink vodka
soda. Vodka soda with extra lime, it's like, it doesn't have sugar in it, so it's not going to give you a massive headache. You can drink a few and be okay and feel relatively...
You don't have to defend yourself.
And the club soda is like water, so it's...
You don't have to defend yourself. I'm saying you and Chloe Savini's character in The Last Days of Disco have the same drink.
You're telling me I'm basic. And I agree with you. No, I'm just kidding.
You're talking to the guy with a fridge full of Coors Banquet. So if you were going to play who's the more basic,
I think you're also like the joke about like vodka cranberry is like cranberry is good for like UTIs. So like if you're young and single and drinking a lot, you're also like sleeping around, like you're more prone to UTI. So I think that's kind of like
the joke. Right.
Is like, put a little cranberry in there. Like it kind of serves dual purposes.
Yeah.
Gets you drunk, cleans up your UTI.
Yeah. Which reminds me of a scene in The Departed where Leonardo DiCaprio's character, who is sober, orders a cranberry juice at a bar and gets sort of made fun of for drinking a girl's drink, I guess.
Right. I mean, it's good for everyone.
Cranberry juice is delicious.
Yeah, but it is very, very sugary if you're drinking it in a cocktail. Anyway, we're off that topic. So yes, Claudia and Stuart get back together. They agree to let Ted bring a date. So Ted goes and picks up Robin. He's wowed by her dress.
Mm-hmm.
She
more on that later. More on that later.
She ends up getting a call from the station that she works for, and they ask her last minute to anchor the news for the night. So it's like a huge opportunity, and she feels bad, but Ted is like, go do it. And she looks at Ted with like admiration, like, thank you. I really wanted to go to this, but like, I mean, good points for Ted for saying like, go, like, you need to do this thing.
I mean, we're not into the comparisons and stuff, but if we're comparing Ted to Ross as the like tools, Ted is still a better guy than Ross.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Not by a whole lot, but still a better guy than
huge.
Ross.
Not huge. So, okay. They're at the wedding. It's a tacky ass banquet hall. Yeah.
Look, not everyone can have the glam hip art deco rooftop downtown wedding that you and I had.
It was
the
gorgeous.
Best wedding anyone's ever been to.
Yeah. It was both fun and beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Lily and Marshall are dancing, and Ted and Barney are just kind of watching them. Barney is being disgusting, as per usual.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the very last scene, Ted like makes eyes at a woman. He has eye contact with another wedding guest.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts you wanted to, cause I have a couple of things I noticed.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I like that Barney gets manicures. I have gone through periods of getting manicures, but I always ruin it because I am a compulsive nail biter, and I feel like, okay, if I spend $25,
it worked,
that'll
for a while.
Keep me from biting my nails. Yeah. But then I start to get to a point where it works, it keeps me from biting my nails, but then I'm like, I don't have time to like make an appointment again, and my nails start to get too long because it's like, well, I don't want to do it myself if I'm going to have it done professionally. So it ended up being, I tried to go through a period of getting manicures, and it didn't work out for me.
And you had like a fun Beverly Hills nail salon that they gave you champagne
on Friday. I found out because I was going after work, like on Fridays, or I was going after work in Beverly Hills where I work, when I'm not working from home, which I have been since March 2020. And I found out that because I would go in and they'd offer me like, can I get you a water or a juice or whatever? And then on Fridays it was like, would you like some wine or champagne? And I was like, oh, I'm only coming on Fridays now. let's see. I liked, Ted's sort of fantasy sequence of how the wedding would go with him and Robin dancing was in widescreen.
I was more hopeful for that scene. I was like expecting, I don't know, something a little more interesting.
And it was more of a fantasy sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're going to do a dance like Romy and Michelle.
Yeah. I wanted like some fun dance or like confetti. Right. I was thinking Overboard.
Yeah. The confetti.
In her fantasy.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
I like that. Let's see. I like that Marshall thinks squirrels get married.
Yeah, that was. Can we go into funniest?
In a little bit. Okay. I have more. Did you? Okay. So in that same scene where Marshall thinks that squirrels get married, he's at the desk behind the couch. On the desk in front of him is a book called "The Wines of America." Do you think that's a book that Marshall and Lily bought during their brief foray and trying to be like,
yes.
Or do you think that's Ted's book because he actually is those boring people?
No, I think you're right. I think props to the props department again for like, this is something that they would have purchased when they tried to impress their fancy couples with wine.
Yeah. Yeah. I want that book. It looked like a big, thick tome about the wines of America.
Well, we have a lot of wine books that we've never cracked.
You've read almost all of Wine for Dummies.
Really?
I didn't get like it gets
that's a big book.
Well, yeah, that's why I say almost. I've read almost because Well, the book you bought me is the Wine for Dummies all in one. So it's actually five different wine books in one. Whoa. So when it gets like drills down into like Italian and French varietals, I skimmed that stuff, but okay. Like all the basic stuff I read.
Listeners, we're wine people.
Yeah. We have Wine for Dummies, which is the hallmark of real wine people is the Wine for Dummies book. I had one more thing I was going to say. Oh yeah. So I had to look it up. The song that plays at the end, starting with Ted at Robin's apartment, she gets the news that she has to go into work, and then continuing through the final wedding scene.
Death Cab.
No. That is a song called Laundry Shop. Why did you think it was Death Cab?
It's Death Cab for Cutie.
What's the name of the song?
Soul Meets Body.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking this up. Okay, Death Cab for Cutie, Soul Meets Body.
Can we play it?
Lyrics?
Softly soaring through my atmosphere.
So maybe did it segue into a second song then? Because the song that's playing when Ted is at Robin's apartment.
Okay, and it continues starts with something, but it ends with
okay.
Death Cab.
Okay,
Cutie.
Well, okay. I didn't notice the transition to Death Cab, because the song that's playing is called Laundry Shop, and it's by the band Fuck. Which I just wanted to mention.
Very funny. I didn't know that song, but I knew.
I didn't know it either. I had to look it up.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this band's called Fuck. I don't think I knew. I know Fucked Up.
Right.
I remember Fuck Buttons. I don't remember if I knew that there was a band just called Fuck and that they made like twinkly indie pop.
Yeah.
What a weird.
Yeah.
What a weird type of music for them to make. All right. So, yeah, why don't we get into funniest moments?
Okay. Yeah, we already talked about the argument of like fun versus lame weddings between Lily and Marshall, and Lily is trying to describe how the woods can be like a fun place to get married, like the squirrels getting married. And wait, who says squirrels don't get married?
Lily, Marshall says, you want us to get married in the woods like a couple of squirrels. And Lily says,
squirrels don't get married.
And Marshall says,
how could you possibly know that? How could you possibly know that? Yeah, that was my funniest line, and I botched it.
My funniest, this was not a super funny episode of How I Met Your Mother, I have to say. This was more of a, and I feel like Friends, I know from like watching TV in like the 90s and early 2000s that Friends will get to a point of being like having the maudlin romantic soap opera type episode. That's kind of what this was. This there weren't a ton of jokes.
Yeah.
But
it was very like wistful.
Yeah. I did like when Barney says that bringing a date to a wedding is like bringing a deer carcass on a hunting trip. And Ted says, deer carcass, that's the metaphor you're going to go with? And Barney goes, Ted, it's a simile. I liked that joke.
Right.
Because it's a, you know, language joke.
Right, right.
Linguistic joke. I like that stuff. How about making it fashion? I'm at your mother, but make it fashion.
Okay, so Marshall, love his orange wool sweater.
Okay.
I think he's worn it before.
Okay.
And I kind of like that they repeat outfits because it seems like more authentic.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I feel like Ted was wearing like a corduroy sport coat
in one scene
that I'm pretty sure we've seen before. In fact, I might have called it out in one of these segments.
So I've seen this this wool sweater that Marshall has worn in the past. I love it. I did not like the quote unquote wow dress.
Yeah, neither did I.
It's not a cute dress.
Yeah.
And it's like an annoying red color. Like for a wedding, I mean, it's like candy apple red, which I feel like is not really a good color.
Yeah.
At any point.
Yeah.
For any occasion. Like, it's just not, like, a red dress can be nice, but it's just like the pigment was bad.
Yeah.
And the fitting was weird.
It had a weird, like, fabric color wise, like a bisecting of her breast that was like on the breast part.
Yeah. And then there was kind of like a flapper type
fringe.
Like, it was not a cute one.
Do you think in 2006 you would have found it cute? I don't think so.
I don't think so. A lot of Robin's fashions I'm not impressed with.
Okay. Well, I had a couple. I like Ted. Maybe I just had this in my mind because I weirdly liked Chandler's blue plaid shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Ted has a blue plaid scarf that he wears when he's trying to convince Stuart to get back together with Claudia. Okay. I like that. But really, my number one pick, and I'm surprised it wasn't yours, in the very first scene, Lily's wearing this top that has like lovebirds
on it. I do like that. I did like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you clocked it because I want you to try and help me describe this top. It's like black velvet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it has like appliques of these like lovebirds.
Yes.
So then, and the sleeves come to her elbows, and then there was like
a shirt under it.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to figure out. Is that, was that part of the shirt, or is it a shirt under it?
I think it's layered. I was like,
so what is the thing she's wearing? Is it a top or is it a dress? Because she's sitting down, so I can't tell. Does the lovebird thing?
I think it's a top.
It's a top. Okay.
Yeah, and I think she layered. Yeah.
Sleeve.
So I feel like it was like a, yeah, it was just like a layered look. But yeah, I really did like that as well. But I was so distracted by Marshall, as I tend to be.
I would say Robin's dress, weird in ways that don't work.
Yeah.
Lily's lovebird top, weird in ways that do work.
Yeah. Like if it didn't fit her so well, I would say like, oh, this is supposed to be like a thrift store find. But like, it's so, I mean, maybe she got it, adjusted.
Altered.
Yeah. Altered. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it fit too well to be just like a thrift store.
Okay. Moving on to running jokes and motifs. I've got a number. What are you picked out? Noticed?
Yeah. Okay. Ted's a date rapist.
Wait, you mean Marshall's a date or Barney's a date.
Barney's rapist. A date rapist.
Oh, thank
you. Marshall always like subverting gender roles, which I like, when he's talking about the wedding.
Yeah.
He's dreamed of his wedding. Yeah, he's always dreamed of his wedding. He wants the wedding to be like 50-50. None of this like, oh, he's just like here for the ride. You know, I hate those.
I was an equal participant in our wedding planning?
Yeah, we planned it together. Okay, we made a point to, yeah. I mean, there were times that maybe I like held a little more and times that you did, you know, like I feel.
Yeah, I would say I don't care about flowers. When it came to flowers. Yeah, now I can decide what the flowers are going to look like.
And then, like, if you had an idea, I would, like, yeah, but maybe you this.
Would, you would patronize me.
No.
We did get to, obviously with the sound off, but we projected movies during the reception.
Yeah, you got to pick.
It was Barton Fink and Chinatown.
Because
we were both, because like I said, Art Deco Downtown, we were going with a sort of 30s LA thing. So Barton Fink and Chinatown were like 2:30.
And I love both of those movies, so it worked. And like we did the playlist together.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was great.
So yeah, I think it was more equal than not. also, I thought it was funny, like a running joke about all the dogs in Robin's apartment.
Yes, I mentioned, I mentioned that Robin's dogs are back. I put that in my notes too.
That was fun.
Did you notice something else in Robin's apartment? The blue French horn from the first episode is still on her mantle.
Yes. That's all that I had for running jokes.
And motifs. It's not just running
and
jokes.
And motifs.
Because I also want to mention motif-wise, a couple of different instances of Ted as an unreliable narrator here. Like admitting that he doesn't know what Stuart and Claudia's fight was about.
Yes.
Was great. But also, like, his memory is bad.
And I failed to mention in my description of the episode. So at the wedding, Claudia ends up like finding his card and saying, "You checked that you'd be coming alone."
Yeah.
So she showed him the card. So yes, unreliable narrator. In his mind, he did a plus one, but he didn't. And that was Barney's way of saying, like, see, like, you know, you're a single guy. You know, you're on the prowl.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I mentioned, this is a bit of a tease, and you don't even know her name unless you were paying attention during the end credits, but Victoria, Ashley Williams is the actress, but the woman you mentioned, he sees, spies a woman across the, makes eye contact with a woman across the reception.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw in the credits, she is named Victoria, and this is going to be someone you get to know.
Okay. I figured as much, yeah.
And someone that I will say, as a fan of How I Met Your Mother, someone I really like. I really like Victoria as a character a lot.
Okay.
So let's move on to similarities and differences between the two episodes. I picked out a couple of things. Did you have anything?
I'm sure. Yeah, a huge similarity was both Ross and Barney. Shut up, Darla. like preying on vulnerable women who had just like broken up.
Oh yeah,
they're in a bad place and they swoop in to be predatory. So yeah. Ross does it with Rachel, obviously, and Barney does it with Claudia. Yeah. And in both cases, they're distraught, they're tearful, they're vulnerable, yeah. And like the creep factor is just elevated.
What's creepier, and I honestly don't know, is it creepier that Ross doesn't realize he's a bad guy by doing it, or is it creepier that Marshall knows he's a bad guy?
You mean Barney?
Barney, god damn it. Yeah. How dare I disparage your beloved Marshall?
Yeah.
And big teddy bear.
Don't you dare. What's worse?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Is it like, what's more troubling? How clueless Ross is, or how
in that scene Barney is? The intentionality was monstrous in Barney's case, because there's alcohol involved and there's a certain level of like non-consent, you know, yeah. Whereas there's no alcohol involved. It's Ross just kind of being, I think he's kind of oblivious, and that's
it's problematic in its own way.
It's problematic. I don't know what's worse.
Yeah. All right. I picked out a couple of things. One small one, when Robin says that she's going to find a dress so good that the bride's going to look like a big white sack of crap. Mm-hmm. I was reminded of Monica's competitiveness, that Robin and Monica are very different people, but I think have a certain things. They have something in common that I think we haven't done a lot of would the Friends characters and the How Many Other characters get be along? Friends.
Oh, okay.
So Robin and Monica would either be great friends or be sworn enemies because they're both very competitive.
They're both like type A, very ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call. But the other thing I noticed that I think is more interesting than that, and you mentioned like gender roles being reversed. I liked that on Friends, the people in Ross's corner trying to like give him advice and help him with Rachel are Joey and Chandler, the other men. Mm-hmm. On Ted, Lily's the one, like, I've been laying the groundwork for team, you know, she's team Ted.
Right.
And I like that, like, you know,
the wingman is Lily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like on Friends, I feel like there's a lot of like, there's three guys and three girls and like, and like on How I Met Your Mother, it's mostly there's like four friends plus Barney.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like if we're making comparisons, Lily and Phoebe are the most alike in the way that they're sweet, charming, they're good friends. Their sense of humor is a little bit like quirky.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to think about.
Yeah, but I guess I'm bringing you're bringing obviously knowledge of all of Friends, and I'm bringing knowledge of all of How I Met Your Mother. And I feel like Lily's a little more like tough and hard nosed than Phoebe, but you probably haven't seen as much of that yet.
Yeah.
Cause you have to remember she's a New York City native. Lily is.
Right. Okay.
Which I'm trying to remember on Friends, Joey is, I think we learned, or we were given that impression during the Thanksgiving episode when he's like, was supposed to like have Thanksgiving dinner with his family, but then they didn't want him because he was on the the STI like subway ad or whatever. Yeah. So we got the impression that okay, so Joey's local.
Yeah,
Lily we know is. She said it as much when she said that New York was a safe place to raise kids.
Right,
Marshall's family laughed at her.
Yeah,
and she said we grew to the normal size and then stopped growing.
Yeah.
All right. So that's for the future. More Lily to come, I'm sure. Let's play favorites.
Okay. This hands down Friends.
Yeah. I have to say Friends. I mean, there's a lot that I like about this How I Met Your Mother episode. There's a part of me, I think, because these are sitcoms, that my first level of judging the episodes is which one did I laugh at more, and Friends blew out of the water this time.
But also in sweetness too, because that we both got tearful, like, thinking about that friendship scene.
Right. Whereas the, that's interesting. Yeah. An interesting thing that I've said before about, like, Friends, that some of the emotional stuff feels like forced. Earned. No, I'm saying on Friends, it feels forced. Like I was saying about, like, the whole storyline last week, I guess. It's been a few weeks since we recorded, right. But last week with Chandler and his mom, I felt like I don't actually buy the relationship between these two. I feel like the show's doing more telling than showing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think that How I Met Your Mother is a little more keyed into its characters' wavelengths. Hmm. But this episode was the opposite. Like it felt like the sweetness was prescribed on How I Met Your Mother, and that scene from Phoebe was very real and heartfelt.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, we both agree.
Friends wins.
Friends, the one with a dozen lasagnas, is a better episode than How I Met Your Mother, The Wedding.
Yes.
Okay. It's funny that they named, again, this is just spoilers for future, not real spoilers, but a tease for future How I Met Your Mother. It's funny that this episode so early in the run is named The Wedding, because there will be lots of episodes set at weddings.
That won't be called The Wedding.
But I'm saying a wedding as a setting for a How I Met Your Mother episode is going to be, it's going to be a big part of the show to come up.
Okay.
Well, let's move into my favorite segment, at least my favorite segment to say the name which is How Were We Doing?
Right.
In which we look at the events that were happening in the world on the day these episodes aired. So Friends, Season 1, Episode 12, the one with the dozen lasagnas, aired on Thursday, January 12th, 1995. And there was a major thing that happened, which this was the first day of the O.J. Simpson trial.
Right.
Which I feel like we've already had OJ stuff come up in this segment, so we've already kind of shared our OJ memories, because I remember saying that I like was insisting that OJ was innocent, that he was framed mostly to piss my dad off. And I remember
did your family watch the trial?
Not as a family, I don't really remember.
Or like, were your parents watching it?
They must have been keeping track. I remember I was at school and they announced the verdict, and our homeroom teacher in middle school, because it was in the morning, I guess, like played the announcement over the radio, I think, like while it was happening.
Weird.
Yeah. Do you have any other OJ memories that we didn't talk about last time?
No, because we talked about the car chase already.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think at some point I just stopped watching, you know.
Top five songs in the U.S. Boys to Men on Bended Knee. It's like a, but well, that's like a second tier Boys to Men song.
Yeah,
right?
Second tier ballad.
It's not like I'll Make Love to You or End of the Road.
Yeah,
those are like the two big ones. Yeah. Right. TLC Creep,
good one, classic.
Real McCoy, Another Night.
Yeah,
Another Night, Another yeah. Bon Jovi, Always. That's a ballad, Bon Jovi in ballad form, which I tend to like.
Yep.
And I think we've talked about this one before. Any Kamotsi, Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
You didn't know it and I sang it for you. I'm not going to do it again.
You're not going to do it again?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure. Why don't you do it? Do it.
No, I sang Another Night.
I did too. I would rather sing that song than Hot Stepper.
I'll sing Always. That's Bon Jovi.
Here Come the Hot Stepper. All right.
Okay. And then Season 1, Episode 12 of How I Met Your Mother, The Wedding, aired on January 9th, Monday, January 9th, 2006. And I had something for this. Oh yeah, I remember this. So this was the day that Howard Stern debuted on satellite radio after 30 years on, you know, regular broadcast radio. And then he went off the air for a while. And this was the day that he debuted on
satellite,
which I think means this is, I've never listened to any Howard Stern satellite. Like I listened to him sometimes when I was younger. I have a memory of listening to him the day that I moved to Los Angeles. I'll tell that story if you want.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't have I remember when people had Sirius radio. I think my dad had Sirius satellite radio
in
the car.
Does it not exist anymore?
Much later. Oh, I think it still does. Okay. But he got it like much later than most people did. But it was like quite the innovative experience.
I've never had it, so I've never gotten into...
He loved it.
First my memory of the day that I moved to Los Angeles. I'd driven all night from Albuquerque. Because that's where we had stayed. The person I was moving out here with we'd stayed the night in Albuquerque. Drove. U-Haul broke down twice. Once in Texas, once in Arizona. So it ended up taking us like 20 hours from Albuquerque to LA. And we got there super early in the morning, and we didn't have an apartment. We were staying with a friend. We had all our shit, and we had like rented a storage space from U-Haul.
Mm-hmm.
But I got there so early in the morning that it wasn't open yet. But my girlfriend at the time that I moved out here with, she had... The person who we were staying with was taking the test to be a licensed hairdresser in the state of California that day. That's what she had done in Chicago. She was out here. She was taking the test. She was letting us stay with her. And so she, like, my ex-girlfriend had agreed, like, okay, I'll be your...
Hair model.
Your hair model for that day, which means... We had planned to get in the day before. Like, she was supposed to like get a good night's sleep. I basically had to drop her off at our friend Tanya's place. Tanya had to go straight to the hair cutting thing, and then I had to go to U-Haul, wait for it to open, and unload the entire U-Haul by myself. Even though there were day laborers there for that purpose, but I was so broke when I moved here that I was like, I can't give anyone, one of you $20, so I had to unload. But what I remember is sitting in the U-Haul waiting for the U-Haul placed open so I could return the truck and unload it into the storage unit, and listening to Howard Stern make fun of Sean Penn and his Hurricane Katrina relief efforts.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Which is like, I understand why Sean Penn is an easy person to mock because he takes himself so seriously, but he's also like fucking helping people.
Yeah. What are you doing with drowning. Your millions?
Yeah. Howard Stern. I'm sure he does something. I don't know.
But yeah, don't make fun of people, like, people's charity. Like, that's...
Yeah. I mean, Sean Penn is so easy to make fun of for so many reasons. Do you remember when Chris Rock, the first time he hosted the Oscars, made, like, a gentle ribbing joke about Jude Law not being, like, a real movie star, like, mm-hmm. the movie stars of the past? And the next time when Sean Penn, like, won for Mystic River, he was like, let me just say, Jude Law is a very talented actor, like, couldn't take a fucking joke at all. I understand the impulse to make fun of Sean Penn, but he's literally saving lives. Yeah. So get over yourself, Howard Stern. So that was the last time I ever listened to Howard Stern. What I remember about him coming to Sirius was, do you remember the billboards?
No.
It said, Howard is coming all over America.
Oh, good one.
Not a good one. I disagree that it's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So that's how we were doing on those 2 days. Now we get to go to challenge accepted.
Okay.
And look at how wrong I was. I am going to owe $500 every season if it keeps going this way.
But here's the thing, like a wedding, like there's obviously going to be a wedding, but like...
No, but you were more specific. So I said, Monica cooks 12 lasagnas until she gets one right. I thought it was going to be about her type A.
Right.
That she had to make a dozen to get it right. But that's not what it's about at all. She has a dozen that she can't use because they're meat. So I was way wrong. Whereas your guess was Ted goes to a wedding stag and meets a new love interest, which is literally what happens in the episode.
Yeah.
So you're ahead 7-1.
Wow.
Oh, but, I mean, that's an asterisk because we still are waiting for listener input on whether or not Cameron Manheim is, because we're recording so far ahead that episode literally just posted the other day. So we're waiting for listeners to say whether or not Cameron Manheim is a big enough star, because so it could very well be 8-1.
And I feel like the naming concept, it's always going to favor me, because how in a million years would you say, oh, like Paolo hits on Phoebe? Like you would never be able to, the name indicator for the wedding, I already know that it's going to be like true to its naming concept.
Okay.
I'm always going to win, basically.
Okay. Well, then I'm always going to be giving $500 to charity every 24 weeks. I can do that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
afford it.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's be a little more like flexible for you. Maybe.
Don't take it easy on me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But I definitely went into this challenge thinking I would have the upper hand because of the nature of the Friends titles, but they're so misleading.
They're so misleading. Exactly.
Okay. So, see, here's what happened here. I went to IMDb to look up the next episode, and the image that came up for the episode gave me a clue. Am I allowed to use the image that came up from the episode?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's
fine. So the next Friends episode is called The One with the Boobies. Okay. Now that you know me, you know how difficult it was for me to say that, because I hate that word. I feel like it makes me feel like a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, say breasts or say tits, because that at least, tits is vulgar, but at least is something that like not a little baby says.
I don't know. Boobs and boobies. Can say tits.
It'd be cute. It'd be cute if they did, yeah. But words like boobs and boobies, I also don't like the word poop for the same reason. It makes me feel like a tiny little baby, and I hate feeling like that.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so season 1, episode 13 is called The One with the Boobies, and my guess is going to be that one of the dudes, because they're always walking into the apartment, sees Monica or Rachel topless.
Okay.
Okay, is that a good enough guess?
Yep.
I'm saying one of the dudes sees Monica, not Conica. Learn how to type. Monica or Rachel. This is the listener's favorite part.
Yeah.
Topless.
Should I be vamping right now?
Maybe.
Let's talk about some songs.
Anything going on outside the...
No, I think it's too early for Greg to order a pizza or Postmates McDonald's.
Wait, is this the first time we said his name? It's just his first name. We can say
Greg. His name's Greg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We watch our neighbor like sees, or we can see, when you, never mind. Okay. Inside joke.
Inside joke about our neighbor.
Yeah. We live in an apartment building. There's a door that's literally 3 feet from our door.
Yeah.
When we can see out
we
the door.
See all we the see, comings and goings.
We see him. We keep track of what food he's ordering.
Yeah.
And he goes through sort of phases of healthy eating and not healthy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Anyway, but we're mean, like, snoops.
But it's very, like, in line with Friends. It's almost like the equivalent of Ugly Naked Guy. We're not as mean as they are, but it's kind of
similar. Yeah, we really
similar.
Like Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 13, is called Drumroll, Please.
Hmm. Okay. Drumroll, please. This is tough. Okay. This is really tough. So I want to incorporate Victoria as a new character. So Victoria will be meeting the group.
Ooh.
And okay, so maybe Ted meets her separately, like gets her digits, they like go out together, and then the rest of the gang finally get to meet her. And the drum roll is like introducing her.
Okay. Oh, I like that. Okay, so Ted.
Is that too specific? Non-specific?
No, I like that. So okay. Ted.
They exchange numbers or whatever. So they.
Ted and Victoria.
Go on a date. They meet up. They hit
it
off.
I'm gonna say start dating. Ted and Victoria start dating. And then Ted introduces her to the gang.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay.
This is a long one.
We had a lot to talk about. This is what happens with podcasts. The more like comfortable we get doing this, the like more we end up talking, I think.
Yeah, we get sloppier, but we're having fun.
And we're sober, we should say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't mean sloppy like we've been drinking this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we should. We should like drink coffee and bourbon or something like while we do this these episodes to honor the two shows. But yeah, so definitely email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Leave comments on the episode at battleshippretension.com. And also you can tweet me at Davey Pretension. Check out my other writing and podcasting at battleshippretension.com. Natalie, have you changed your mind? Is there anywhere you want people to find you?
No, but definitely email us. Tweet Davey. Yeah. Let us know if you have any thoughts.
Yeah. At me.
At me.
Yeah. At me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well then, okay. Well, this was a lot of fun.
Until next time, farewell, friends and mothers.